It's Thursday, January 7th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart on You. There's a lot going on in our country right now. Please, everyone stay safe. Not our expertise. We're not going to spend time discussing it, but we will want to wish everyone their safety and some sanity. And we'll talk about what we do here, which is making you smarter about football and especially football gambling, as we have the NFL playoffs this weekend. And Matt, we got above 500 this week. We went 4-1 in week 17. I think we had six straight winning weeks, and we did it. We did it.
And it came down to the last game of the season. You know, like, that's the best part. It came down to the last game of the season, and it came down to a Washington football team game where the other team was trying to tank for us. And we barely did it, but we did it. If you trailed us this year, you made money officially. I mean, depending on your vig.
Depending on your juice, but we were 41-40-4. I gave the wrong number out last weekend. I said we were 34-37. I actually skipped a week. We were 37-39, went 4-1. So 41-40-4. And along the way, we've given you some props too that we've liked. So here's what we're going to do this weekend. Six playoff games. There are no Westgate lines. There are no Super Contest lines. We'll go with the consensus lines that are Thursday morning, as we record this Thursday morning, not on Wednesday night. And we will give you a side. So we'll give you which team we'd like to cover the spread for every game. But because these are special games, there's more obviously emphasis on them. I have a lot of other bets I like within each game as well. So does Matt. So we'll give you just a general overview of every game. We'll give you a side we like. And then also we'll give you another bet we like. And we'll do that throughout the show. So we have six games. And let's start with the first game of the weekend, Matt.
Yeah, let's do it. At the end, we'll sort of reveal our collective favorites. First game is maybe the best game. The Colts plus 6.5 at Buffalo, everyone's darling. What do you like here?
So I like Colts plus 6.5, but the bet that I gave for my Fox Sports article, which should be up fairly soon if you're listening to this, if you want to read, if you want to visualize this, is if we're looking for one moneyline favorite, excuse me, one moneyline underdog this weekend, I think it's the Colts. And again, I don't think they're going to beat the Bills, but if you're looking for the value of an underdog here, they fit the profile for this, right? They rush the football very well, which is something that Buffalo has struggled to do the entire season. And remember, Buffalo has played, their defense has been better down the stretch, Matt, but they've played really bad offenses. They've only played one offense that's been better than 17th in DVOA, and that was Seattle like week 9. They played all these bum offenses the back half of the season. The Colts, well, we don't believe in Phillip Rivers. They can run the football. They're an efficient offense. They're playing better down the stretch. Jonathan Taylor, since week 11, 123 yards per game, 6.2 yards per attempt. Over the last 8 weeks of the season, Colts offense has 30 points per game and almost 400 yards on offense as well, both in top six in the NFL. So offensively, they're good. Now, can they stop the Bills' offense, right? We know the Bills' offense is fabulous right now. Josh Allen's on fire. There's a couple things I think they can do, okay? Again, I'm making the Colts for the Colts to cover this game and win the game. I do think Buffalo still wins, but again, there's a little bit of value sprinkling the money line here for the Colts. The Colts are the 11th highest pressure percentage, right? But they only pressure, they're 31st in the NFL in pressure rate. Like, they don't actually send a lot of guys. They get home with four. Josh Allen, not as good when you rush four less passers. When you blitz him, he's great, right? He finds ways to get the ball down the field. So I just think that these components together, Matt, again, I like the Colts to cover. I think you could sprinkle some of the money line. I still think Bills win the game. What do you say?
That's, I think, exactly where I am. I was looking back to last season's wild card weekends, and this season, who knows, there's not a template for this season. Last year, three of the four games that were played were upsets, and the only result that held by seeding was Houston barely beating Buffalo. But the other three games were upsets, 2-6-1 and a 5-4 in Seattle and Philly. So there's always sort of like a topsy-turvy result, it feels like, in this weekend. This is the one that I felt a little bit just worried about, even though I think Buffalo could win the Super Bowl. You know, that I don't think that's like a big stretch. I would probably wait for Indy plus 7 if I was picking a side. I did hit one thing, and that's the first half over in this game.
Interesting.
These two teams are second and fourth in the highest first half point totals this season. They average a collective 33 a game. Last night, that was at 24.5 at my book. So I took the over there. The over is 5-0 in Colts games against teams with winning records this season.
Interesting.
And Buffalo at home, the over's hit 10 out of 16 times. It also pushed once. So I think there will probably be a lot of points here, even though there's a perception Indy's got this great defense. But yeah, I think Buffalo's going to have a tough time. Buffalo's really hot. They've covered, I think, 8 straight.
Yeah.
26-12-2 against the spread under Josh Allen, which is incredible, especially given how shaky he was a few years ago. The Bills, the Indy has struggled this year against power running teams. When we've always had trouble with Indy on this show, trying to figure them out. They've had trouble against Derrick Henry, James Robinson, Baltimore with all their million running backs, and then Pittsburgh, this sort of outlier physical team that, they beat the Packers. Like, they can beat teams where, they spread the ball around on offense and explode. So I think Colts plus 7 is probably the play I would want to make here, along with some overs.
I just don't know if it even gets to 7. Like, there's so much money on Buffalo, and the line has not budged at all. Like, I think that this is going to go anywhere to go to 6 by kickoff.
Which is crazy because, everyone's picking Buffalo.
So we'll So we can't give you probably consensus 5. We can just listen to our confidence is how we feel about these picks as we go through. We'll tell you at our end kind of the best ones that we like. All right, let's get to the second game on Saturday, which, God, it has the potential to be a complete stink fest of the weekend.
It sure does. That's the Rams at the Seahawks right now. The line is Seattle by 3.5.
So this line has come down. I believe it was a little bit higher earlier in the week. And it's interesting because it's come down without the Rams. It was at 5 without the Rams knowing who's playing quarterback this weekend, right? Is Jared Goff going to play? How well will he play if he does play in this game? To me, this screams under 42 or under 42.5. You have two defense is playing very well right now. The Seattle defense is allowing 16 points per game since week 10, the best number in the NFL. That includes a game against the Rams. Remember, the Rams went to Seattle a couple weekends ago. The last 7 games Jared Goff has started, they're only averaging 23 points a game. They're not moving the ball that well on offense. And that could be now with Whitworth, the left tackle, coming back. Maybe that's more. But I think where the under really, to me, plays is the Rams defense, guys. The Rams defense is the best in the NFL at defending the deep pass. First completion percentage, touchdown interception ratio, passer rating, and they have Aaron Donald, right? So, like, their defense, pass defense, fabulous. They allow about 200 yards a game passing the ball. And Russell Wilson, for whatever reason, Matt, just kind of stopped throwing the ball deep. If you look at his first 8 games, he was averaging 8.6 yards per attempt. Now he's only averaging 6.4 yards per attempt. He also dropped over 100 yards per game passing the last 8 weeks of the season. Like, they're just a different offense right now. To me, this feels a very grind them out game. I like the under here, which means I probably lean Rams plus 3.5, even though the value is not terribly there. I think you have to stay away from this till we know if Goff is playing or not. But the under, you can still play anyways.
Yeah. I mean, if Goff plays, this line probably sticks. And, like, am I crazy? I love Seattle here. I kind of like bought the half point and took them at -120 at -3. Because I think, like, we're giving the Rams a lot of credit for beating Kyler Murray's backup last week. Like, let's see if they can handle playoff Russell Wilson. The Seahawks have been great at home. Jamal Adams is going to be playing, which means, good things for that defense. These two teams, I mean, I think when these two teams played last, we liked the Rams. But Seattle crushed them. And that was back when, everybody was healthy.
Yeah.
The under makes sense for all the reasons you laid out. 43 seems like a low, or somewhere around there, feels like a low number for any game with Russell Wilson. These two teams combined for, they both hit the under a lot. They're 11 and 21 to the over. So 21 and 11 to the under. But I'd probably pass on this. The read I would say here, I kind of like Seattle to win the NFC at plus 625, because I do think, especially if Wolford's playing, then they should win this game. And then, who knows what the deal is with the Saints after Kamara's COVID thing and Michael Thomas and Green Bay, they're Aaron Rodgers' sprained ankle, God forbid, from falling apart. So That would probably be my read here, that if they win this game, that number is going to drop quite a bit.
You know, I like Seattle for I like Seattle if Goff doesn't play, obviously they should cover here. But
even even if he does though, right? Like, what's, I mean, Jared Goff?
I just don't trust Seattle right now. And if you look at the game that they lost a couple weekends ago, Goff threw that terrible red zone interception, like awful red zone interception. And Seattle didn't play well. They kind of finished at the end on, I think it was a fourth down play that Wilson converted at the end to go up, I think 23-9 in that game. The Super Bowl odds is interesting because they're the team in the NFC, I think, that can beat the Packers. As much as I think the Seahawks offense has kind of, you know, slowed down, the defense is playing better. But I trust Russell Wilson on the road in Lambeau. And they tend to play bigger and bigger games, does Seattle. Right. They've always been that way. So that's a good, you know, that's a good value heading into the postseason. All right, let's get to game number three of the weekend.
Yeah. I will say one last thing on that. It's like there's the chances of a team other than Green Bay, Tampa, like the Saints, there, Seattle would be next. So to get them at more than 16.
Tampa, the problem is Tampa has a long road, man. I mean, Tampa has to go on the road and beat Washington, which we'll talk about in just a second. They'd have to then go beat Green Bay, presumably, and then go either beat New Orleans or Seattle. Like that's a long road to get to. There's been no team who has done that ever, three road games ever. Giants in 07 maybe did it with three road games. I think even Baltimore 2012 had a home game at least. Yeah. I think maybe the Giants 2007 were the one team that was able to do three road games. Yeah.
Maybe Pittsburgh one year too, for, I can't remember. Maybe we'll look it up as we're talking. All right, next up is Tampa. Right now that is -8. Tampa is a road favorite at Washington.
So that's a lot of points. Here's what I like, and you are a Washington football team fan.
I am.
You know this team very well. By the way, how do you feel? How do you feel about getting the playoffs, Matt?
I mean, you guys talked about this already, so I we don't need to repeat anything. But I feel great. Like their over under was 5. They won the division. Like, granted, they only got to 7, and it was a cluster F of a division, but they got there. And you know, the Eagles tried to lay down in that game. Washington maybe also like couldn't do better than lay down, but they won the division. And like, give them some credit. Like, their coach had cancer this year. Like, they were not supposed to compete this year, and they did. So I'm really proud of them. And even if they get massacred in this game, like, good for them.
Yeah, I mean, they played 4 quarterbacks this year, made the playoffs. It's pretty incredible. All right, so here's what I like in this game. I like the first half under 22.5. That's the number I got for Fox Bet, which I know not everyone has, but that's the number that I got from my article that I wrote. A lot of this sometimes it's going off what I wrote the night before. You know this, Washington football team does not score in the first half of games.
they physically
cannot. The entire season they've scored on average 8.4 points per the first half. And you think, okay, well, maybe when Alex Smith plays, they're better. No, 8.5 points in the first half. This year in the first half of games, they've scored 14 with Alex Smith, 14, 13, 3, 3, 17. That included, I believe that was the Cowboys game, included defensive touchdown or defensive short field, I believe, right? And then 3 and 7. They don't score in the first half, guys. They do not. And partly because Alex Smith, we saw last weekend, man, check down Charlie, right? Like, he just starts the game out, check down, check down, check down. And then when the game gets going in the second half, when he has to throw the ball downfield, he is forced to throw the ball downfield and he can't. Plus, look, the guy is gutting it out, man. He cannot move. He cannot move.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't think that Washington will score very much. Well, what about Tampa? Tampa's offense is playing a lot better. Yes. But this is the first great defense they've played in a long time. And this front seven that Washington has is elite. They are elite front seven. And when you play a team like this after you haven't played someone this physical in a while, it does take a little bit of time to kind of get the ball rolling a little bit, right? Like, it takes a little bit of time to figure it out, feel it out, kind of match a physicality. And also here, Washington knows, at least defensively, that the only way they win this game is on defense. Forcing turnovers, harassing Tom Brady, getting after the rushing attack. So I think if you're taking a side here, I think it is probably Tampa. But I like the first half under 22.5. I know you have a bet that's not a side, the game side, but another play you like here.
Yeah, it's another first half play. I took Tampa first half -5 for all those reasons. Last week was Washington scored their first opening drive touchdown of the entire season. They were the last team to do it, and it took until the last game. So that's one I really like, taking Tampa to cover the first half. The other thing I would maybe consider is betting a Washington either money line or to cover if the live line just really goes crazy. I also think Washington is a good tease candidate if you can, you know, bump them up to meet at like 14.5, depending if you've got that 8.5 somewhere. There's a lot of tease candidate games, but I do, you know, as a Washington fan, I was picturing like, well, how could an upset even happen here? And this is just sort of like what I was thinking about. First of all, Tampa hasn't played a game that wasn't either in a dome or in their building in sunny Florida since mid-November. So now all of a sudden they have to go to 28 degree weather in Washington this Saturday at night against a really tough pass rush. Like, it could be one of those games where they come out kind of slow and Washington gets a little momentum and Smith looks a little bit better. And you're like, oh, wait a second. You know, it's not like this game is just going to be a massacre. Like, Washington is just too proud for that. Two other things to consider: 70%+ of the money is on Tampa right now.
I know.
And the line actually moved favorably for them last night. So I think the books are willing to take on Tampa liability here, which is interesting. And the other thing to consider is Tampa has looked great in the last 2 weeks. They played Detroit and Atlanta. Washington looked terrible last week. They played the Eagles, who were trying to tank. Everyone on earth watched that game, and Washington covers every single week. So you have to imagine they're going to keep this one competitive.
Yeah.
And Washington also last week, that was a playoff game for them.
Yeah.
And they have they had a quarterback who couldn't walk. And they have a bunch of rookies in big spots. Rookies are second year guys who this was their biggest game of their career. So that's behind them. I think that they're going to show up in this one and everyone will be like, well, what the hell? Where were they last week? Having said all that, I mean, I think Tampa wins, but I do like Washington potentially to cover this, especially if you can bet it live.
Here's another good play too. I think there's so many different options in this game. The over hit in the second half of 11 of 16 Washington football games.
Wow.
Because of the slow start, right? So that's a way to maybe get some value at some point in this game. And I feel like this is a weekend where live betting will be important, because just like week 17, I thought it was important too. So we have the first half under, I like, you like, Tampa in the first half, kind of the same thought process there as well. All right, those are the Saturday games. Let's get to Sunday games. And look, this is... I the only side I truly like this weekend is in this first game, and so I'm excited to talk about it.
Me too. That's Baltimore currently laying 3.5 at Tennessee.
So I would buy this down to 3 and take Baltimore if you have the option to do so, if you're so inclined to do so. This is one of those things, we talk about this throughout the year, Matt, where when the playoff seeding was announced, what do you think this line was going to be?
I am not sure. I'm a little.
I thought it'd be about a pick 'em, right?
Yeah, I had a Tennessee by 1 actually.
Okay, so Tennessee by 1. So Vegas is telling all of us schmoes that they think Baltimore is a much better football team, right? Because if this game was in Tennessee, I mean Baltimore, they'd be favored by 6, by 6. And so you have to dig a little deeper to find out why that is. And I think it's very simple. Tennessee's defense is garbage, hot garbage. They're last in the NFL on third down. They get no pressure on the quarterback. They cannot stop the run. And guess what Baltimore does well? They're fourth in the NFL on third downs. They run the ball very well. They're disciplined. They don't give up pressures. Like, they do everything that you can't stop if you're the Titans. And the first game they played, Baltimore was up by 11 in that game and just turned the ball over one or two times. Like, that's just what happened. They lost the game in overtime. If you on the flip side, Tennessee's offense is fabulous. We get that. But all you need, if you're Baltimore, if you're going to score 28 to 35 points against Tennessee, if you're Baltimore, let's just say, you need like 4 stops. That's it, 4 stops. If you can stop the run, you have an ability to get home against Tennessee's offensive line that's not very good against against, you know, pass blocking essentially, right? Against pressure. So I think there's so many things working Baltimore's factor. Lastly, Matt, is if Baltimore does not win this game, do they have to admit it's a failure? Because they'll be 0-3 now in the playoffs with this offense, with this quarterback. I mean, they're not going to give up on Lamar, but look, there's going to be some like, I don't know. We've lost three times in a row now in the playoffs as a favorite. Give me Baltimore. I buy down to 3 here. It's my favorite side of the week.
Wow. I'm surprised. When we texted that we liked this one, I assumed it would be Tennessee as a,
really?
As a home dog. I'm on the Tennessee money line, baby. Plus 160. Lamar Jackson, we all know 0-2 in the playoffs. You mentioned the stakes here. I was genuinely surprised that Baltimore was favored here because, you know, this hot streak that they're on, other than the Browns and that sort of miracle game where Lamar allegedly may have pooped himself, Jags, Bengals, Cowboys, Giants, we're saying that's why we're trusting Baltimore. Tennessee also, we've seen these teams play a lot and like the same game has happened each time. Like it's possible that Baltimore could figure it out. But to get plus 3.5 for Tennessee, I'm certainly intrigued by. To get the money line, I'm very intrigued by. You mentioned Tennessee's defense not being great. Well, Baltimore averages almost 5 yards per carry on defense. I don't know if you've heard this, Derrick Henry guy is pretty good. And also in the pass game, Baltimore gives up the most, or sorry, in the run game, their pass their explosive pass rate is quite good. In the run game, they're not quite as good. They're 24th in the league in explosive run rates, which bodes very well for Derrick Henry. The other thing that is, I think, going to happen here is this game is going to go over in the total. And that bodes well for Tennessee for a couple of reasons. First of all, Tennessee's games this year have gone 12-3-1 to the over, which is tops in the league. And when these teams play, it tends to be a lot of points. Last year's playoff game went under. Baltimore's last 7 playoff games as a favorite actually have gone under. But I think this one turns out to be sort of like the same game as the other times where Tennessee comes out, they score a bunch of points, and all of a sudden Baltimore's got to throw, and that's when they fall apart.
But that didn't happen. That didn't happen the first game, though. The first game this year, Baltimore jumped out to a big lead, turned the ball over a couple times. So I think that there is a point to be made here. At plus 3.5, Tennessee's probably the play. At minus 3, I think Baltimore's the play, right? Like that, like the half point, in my opinion, matters a lot to how you bet this game. Obviously, if it gets a 2.5, I would take Baltimore in a heartbeat. But that, I don't think it's going to get there. A lot of the points you made are valid. I'll just say from an X and O's perspective, here's why Baltimore's offense is different now. Okay. For about the first 8 weeks of the year and plus last year, they would have a bunch of tight ends in formation and they kind of put everyone in the box together. They run a bunch of stuff and then play action pass. Okay. And they kind of brought everyone into the box. What they're doing now is they're spreading everything out. They're not running with tight ends anymore. They're just running with 5 offensive linemen, maybe a guy motions in the box, maybe they have a fullback. And so everything on the defense is spread out now. And so obviously there's more rushing lanes. Lamar's averaging 86 yards rushing the last 5 weeks, but the passing attack has opened up because the defense is more spread out now, right? So when you have that spread out formations, you play action pass, you just run your own pass, there's more room now, right? And the defense is spread out in the zone rather than just kind of hunkering down over the offense. Also, I know this sounds odd to say, and Tennessee Titans fans do not like this, but if I am trying to stop the Titans, I'm trying to stop Ryan Tannehill first and Derrick Henry second. I know it sounds backwards, but would you rather give up a pass that averages 11 yards or a run that averages 5? You'd rather give up the run that averages 5. The idea, though, is that if you are behind in a game, you need to stop the run now. And that's the problem, right? So if Baltimore gets behind by 10 points in the fourth quarter, they're probably not coming back in the game.
That's right.
But if it's a shootout back and forth, then they'll be fine without stopping the run. So I know people, you know, Titans fans don't like to hear that, but we looked at last year's playoffs. The Patriots allowed 14 offensive points to the Titans, played cover 2. They let Derrick Henry run the football on them. Even Baltimore last year, Tennessee scored 28 points. A couple of those were off turnovers. And remember, the Ravens went 0-4 in fourth down that game. That ain't going to happen this weekend. You're not going 0-4 in fourth down again. So I just think that everything points to Baltimore. Obviously, we disagree here. So look, you can choose who you like. You either like me and you take the minus three, or you like Matt and you go plus 3.5 with the Titans. I feel like this one we're not going to have an agreement on this one.
Yeah, that's right. I want to go back just to look at this Ravens sort of hot streak. The teams that they beat, three of the last five teams they beat were 31st, 30th, and 29th in rush defense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Browns are sort of the outlier along with the Giants. And the Giants in that game, that was Daniel Jones sort of like hobbling back.
Yes.
So a really soft hot streak. And again, there's usually a weird upset or two here. And this one with the Titans is a home dog with the crowd there. It just felt like.
Would this be an upset, though? I mean, they're only favored by three. It's not like a big upset.
They're home dogs in the playoffs. Like, that to me feels like that. I don't know. I mean, I would be insulted if I were Tennessee, and that's not a great spot to go against.
Yeah, I just think their defense cannot be insulted enough because they're just that bad. One other thing I like in this game, by the way, before we move along, this is my favorite bet of this game: Lamar Jackson over 68.5 rushing yards. Like, that to me feels like that's a play that you feel pretty good about.
Interesting.
So, I just think again the spreading out look. You can't run the defense Tennessee ran in the playoffs last year if Baltimore's going to spread everything out, right? The defense last year, Tennessee did a good job of kind of playing inside out, right? They forced everything to the sideline. And if you already spread out, you can't force things to the sidelines. You guys are spread out already, right? So they can find the rushing lanes a lot easier. So that's why I think he's on a tear right now. And again, if this was like the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, or this was the Bills or Colts, I feel differently, but the Titans defense is hot garbage.
Yeah, it's not great, Jeff. I was looking for a player prop last night when I was doing my prep for this for Hollywood Brown to potentially take an under. Do you know that he has less than 400 receiving yards since October combined? There were games where he would get shut out or have like one catch. No 100-yard games.
He drops the ball every play.
I mean, God, that guy. I mean, the last playoffs he came to life, so maybe he could show up again here. But that was stunning to me. I was like, wow. But player props weren't available yet, so maybe stay tuned on that one. Okay, should we move on to the next NFC game here?
Let's do it. Yeah,
yeah. So this is the game I think I have the least like gambling feel for. Chicago plus 10 at the Saints.
Look, I think if you're taking a side here, the side of Chicago plus 10, I don't feel great about it. But here, I can make the case for that before I make the case for what I actually want to play in this game. The last two times the Saints have played playoff games, they played the infamous game against the Rams, and they lost the Vikings last year. So the last two home games, they've lost in the playoffs. And then I think the year before that, you know, they played the Vikings and lost the Vikings in the Minneapolis Miracle. They kind of just underperform in the playoffs. That's a good way to put it. And you're getting a lot of points with the Bears here at plus 10. The problem with this bet is Mr. Brisky sucks. And that's why my favorite play this weekend is the Bears under 18.5 points.
Oh, I like that.
Trubisky started 9 games this season. He did not face a defense that finished a season above 14th in defensive DVOA.
Huh.
And that doesn't even include like Atlanta, who he played early in the season, who I think he got benched in that game even, right? He got benched in the Atlanta for Nick game.
Foles, yeah.
Like they weren't even they were much better at the end of the season than they were at the start of the season. He played I have it right here. He played Detroit 32nd twice.
Jeez.
Jacksonville 31st, Houston 30th. Green Bay 17th, he played them twice, and the Giants at 19th. And he didn't play the Giants, I think, even when they were good, because as they got better down the stretch. The Bears second best defense, the Saints second best defense in the NFL according to DVOA. The Saints are graded by Pro Football Focus. Second best rushing defense and seventh best pressure unit. The Bears are bottom third in the NFL for both those numbers on their offensive line. But here's the kicker, man. So if you cannot run the ball if you're the Bears, and I don't think they're going to be able to run the football, Trubisky has the lowest completion percentage and yards per attempt when facing pressure. So if you cannot run the football, get the third and long, the Saints are going to bring it, man. They have a great pass rush.
Yep.
I think the Bears don't score a lot of points. If I'm taking a side, it's Bears plus 10, but also the team total is where my eyes are at for that.
That's a really good read on this game, because one of the reasons I feel like I have no feel for this is everybody comes back from COVID a little bit differently. If Alvin Kamara doesn't look like himself. Like, what is the Saints offense? Michael Thomas, of course, like, we think he's going to come back from his injury. Like, the Saints offense feels a little bit fragile. And, you know, Breeze is still working his way back to full health. So I don't really trust them. I do have a lot of faith that the Bears will not win this game. If I were to get some action on this one, I would consider this one in a tease. That is not groundbreaking. You can tease it down maybe 7. The next game potentially could be a tease candidate. Also, you could get Washington up to, you know, maybe 14.5, 15, 15.5. Those aren't key numbers, but
someone's gonna lose one of these teases. Like, people are gonna tease Tampa, New Orleans,
Bills,
and Pittsburgh, and Buffalo. Like, all four of those together. It ain't going to be that easy. Yeah. Someone's going to lose that tease.
Like. Yeah. Two team tease is probably the safe play because, yeah. I mean, it's possible this all goes chalk, but that doesn't, you know, that seems unlikely given what year we're in. So, yeah. And also, when these two teams played in week 8, this went to overtime. The Saints won by 3. And that's, you know, the Bears had sort of begun their descent from like a hot start at that point. So, these teams match up kind of weirdly. 10.5, I'd probably buy the Bears, but this is just not one I really want either side in.
I'm with you here. So, all right. I mean, this feels like we both don't think the Bears have any opportunity in this game. But you know what? I think they're excited to get here. They're 8-8. They backed in the playoffs. All right. One more game. And this one is my favorite bet of the entire weekend is in this game.
All right. Let's hear it. It's Cleveland at Pittsburgh. Cleveland, who the hell knows who their coach is even going to be, but they're +6 currently as we're taping this.
Okay. So I liked Pittsburgh at like -4 early in the week. +6 now. I mean, -6 doesn't feel as good. I still think Pittsburgh is the play here, but here's the bet I like. I couldn't believe I got this number. I do not know where your book is with this number. I know player props sometimes aren't even up right now.
Yep.
I got Baker Mayfield again. This is from my Fox Sports article. So through Fox Bet, we don't have a sponsor for this podcast. If you want to sponsor us, be my guest. I'm just using their lines right now. Baker Mayfield under 225 yards passing.
Hmm.
Like I am shocked this line is that high. Low.
That doesn't feel like a big number for a pro quarterback. So I'll keep going. Dude,
he's against the Steelers in 5 career games. He's averaging 176 yards passing, completing only 58% of his passes.
Jeez.
He's been sacked 16 times, 8 more than the next highest team he's played this season. When under pressure this season, Mayfield is 25th in passer rating and 24th in completion. He's got only 2 touchdowns to 4 interceptions when playing the Steelers. Excuse me, against pressure, to say. Obviously, the stats earlier were against the Steelers. But here's even more reasons why I like this. First of all, Joel Bitonio, their left guard, is out. He is an all-pro caliber player. He's a pro bowler player. Out for COVID. I feel bad for Joel. He's been there his entire career. He finally got a chance to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not going to play in this game. Most times I'd say, like, you know what? Guard being out, not as big of a deal. But guys, the Steelers front four is elite. And they don't have a backup. They don't have like a guy like, hey, go do 75% of this job. They don't really have that guy. Now you have Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, rested from last weekend, coming in to play the Browns. It's bad news, man, for Baker Mayfield. The run game is not as good when those guards are not playing. We know when Wyatt Teller, the right guard, has been out this year, the run game is about 2 yards less per carry. Now you have Joel Bitonio out. We have no metrics for that because Joel's played all season. So it's bad. And then Kevin Stefanski being out, the play caller, is a huge problem. Dan Orlovsky's talked about this week. I'll give him credit for bringing the subject up. It's very true. The first 15 will be scripted, right? So Stefanski will script the first 15. That's normal down and distance. And it's just, you know, the first 15 points, you kind of get in a rhythm, kind of get some. After that, Alex Van Pelt's on his own.
Yep.
And what makes a good play caller elite is the play sequencing. It's not just saying, okay, we're going to run this play here. It's what's the next play? What about the play after that? What about, are we going to counter off the play we ran 7 plays ago and run that in play, you know, the 8th play? Like, so it's all about the sequencing of plays. And when he's not there, that to me is an issue. And lastly, I think the Steelers keep them in 3rd and long situations. And we've seen this happen plenty of times before where they, you know, the Browns cannot run the football. They get in 3rd and long. The Baker's forced to pass the football. And This is way too high. Look, this is I know five games you think is a small sample size. It's really not. Like, we have a picture now of the same coach, the same defense coordinator, the same defense shutting down a quarterback. Now that quarterback doesn't even have his head coach in the game who designs plays. I think Baker Mayfield has a really rough game. Pittsburgh at -4 is better than the -6, but that's how I'm looking at this game, Matt.
I couldn't agree more. And I don't want to add much because I completely agree. Remember last week, one of my favorite picks was Pittsburgh to cover that game Mason Rudolph in there. And that game was really close. And the Browns were at home and had to squeeze that thing out to make the playoffs against a lot of Pittsburgh backups. Now they have to go against the same team that didn't show quite as much with Roethlisberger in there, with TJ Watt in there. And the Browns, given all they've been through and as a team and in the last couple of weeks, as a franchise, they got to be a little bit happy to be there. This is Baker Mayfield's first playoff game. It's on the road. It's against Pittsburgh's defense without his offensive-minded head coach. That's not a great set of scenarios. The Browns are 3-11 against the spread on the road in their last 14. Pittsburgh 7-2 against the spread in their last 9 playoff games at home. I think Pittsburgh takes care of business here, and I think we should think about them in some futures bets.
Already have them. Plus, remember, it's plus 2,500. We talked about this.
Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh is one of those teams that everyone just kind of wrote off after they lost a couple of games. They lost a couple of key players on the defense. You can right now get them at plus 1,800 to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Saints are plus 671. Like, this is just out of the Ravens, who are going on the road this week, are plus 1,000. So I really think you can get some good value on Pittsburgh, especially, you know, because they're going to win this game, right? Like, even if they don't cover, like, they're going to win, and then their odds will shrink.
Yeah. You know, what's pretty interesting about, about this whole thing with the Steelers is that, let's say they beat the Browns this weekend. They play well, offensively, especially. They go to Buffalo. They didn't play that bad against Buffalo the first time. Their offense played terribly. The defense didn't play that bad. Defense was not that bad, guys. They could go and beat Buffalo. So I think the value definitely, I like the Steelers from the start of the season as far as the best value to make the playoffs, make the Super Bowl, I should say, plus 2,500. I'm with you there. I think that poor Browns, man, they get into the playoffs and just COVID just ravages them.
It sucks. They haven't met as a full team in months, which is crazy to think about. I mean, they have just gotten hammered by COVID. It's crazy.
It's wild. Okay, so I don't even know what do we even wrap this up as? Like, we don't have consensus. Do we have to make consensus bets for this? Are we grading ourselves? Like, how are we doing this, Matt? Because we're like all over the place. We gave you a bunch of things we like, and none of them are the totals or the sides.
Yeah, I don't think we need to do some big wrap up here. We gave the listeners a lot to go with. I'm curious, do you have like a favorite thing this weekend?
Yeah, so I wrote a confidence meter, and again, you can go to Fox Sports to find this. My favorite play of the weekend was the Baker Mayfield under 225. Like, that feels like, and I've bet his unders this season, and they're very profitable. They're great to bet on, like, they're especially against the Steelers. I think me and you are on opposite sides on Baltimore, and I really like that first half under in Washington, Tampa. I just bet Tampa -5.2 while we were talking, because I think that's a good play too. So that feels like my favorite bet that you gave out today was at Tampa -5. I also think a Tampa Pittsburgh teaser is the best two leg teaser of the weekend.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think Pittsburgh, maybe like a Pittsburgh and Seattle money line parlay could be kind of interesting. I like some of these teases. I really like your first half under angle for Washington Tampa. Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity here, but you kind of have to look at it a little bit closely because the spreads don't necessarily scream value to me.
Yeah, that's the problem with the playoffs. I mean, this is what everyone is betting. It's like the books have everything down now for how they're going to do this. Real quick, bonus pick. The national championship game is Monday. Alabama favored by 8 over Ohio State.
How do we not talk about that? Yeah, let's. What do you think?
Do you have a lean there, buddy?
I don't yet. I'm curious.
I think Alabama is the play here for many reasons. One is that they're just the best team in the country. It's very simple. Yeah. They pretty much laid down against Notre Dame in the second half of that game. They have the best offensive line in the country. They have the Heisman in the country. I'm not sure Ohio State's secondary will be able to handle all Alabama can give them. Then, here's Najee Harris. I think Clemson was a little full of themselves heading into that game, kind of took Ohio State lightly. And I don't see that happening with Alabama. And I think there's the better football team. It's 8 right now. It was 7. It's 7. I was still taking 8, I think. We'll see how it goes Monday night.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I'm underprepared to talk national championship in public.
That's so fine.
I will co-sign what you say.
Yeah, and, that's fine.
I can't. What a football weekend.
I know. What an amazing weekend. And look, I'm proud of us, Matt. We were at 42% this year at one point. We were like 22 and 30. And we dug our way back out of the muck.
We did.
And, like, it's hard to, like, guys, I know 41-40 is not the best year of all time, but it's hard to do this. It's a lot, especially this year, a lot of people ended up with losing records this year.
Yeah.
We went 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 straight winning weeks. We won 1, 2, 3, 4. So we had, 10 winning weeks out of 16, 17. So we'll just get better next year. We had those 2-5 weekends were just
killer.
Effing brutal.
Yeah. We're like the Ravens. We got hot at the end and we'll see if we fall flat on our faces in week 1 of the playoffs or if we can sustain it.
All right, everyone. Again, stay safe out there. Glad we were able to give you a little bit of reprieve from what's happening right now in our country. And enjoy the playoffs this weekend. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Jeff.